The Musician's Ego, adapted from The Singer's Ego by Lynn Eustace. Part 1, The Inner World. The blurred line between one's music and the true self leads to enormous highs and lows. When your performance receives thunderous applause, the high is tremendous. But on off nights, it can be hard to leave it on stage and not take it with you. The lows of musical criticism can be even more devastating. It's hard for musicians not to confuse their music with their true self. Often, at least initially, the musician gains some social acceptance by being able to play well. This social network is the very reason why students decide to major in music in college. But at some point, the student faces a crisis that can be devastating. The student is faced with a loss of self when the music is taken out of the equation. The student with a healthy ego that is built on the total self will deal with these problems much more effectively. The most successful students are the ones who can both express their emotions freely and handle criticism by moving forward to address the problem. Lack of technique with the instrument can cause much worry for any age. Full-time professional musicians must be disciplined to stay in good health. Sometimes the most expressive singers create barriers around themselves in their daily life to compensate for the exposure they feel when they perform. The opposite is also true. Sometimes musicians who light up a room in real life join the living dead when they begin to perform. Text makes vocal music more explicit in emotional meaning than instrumental music. Singing is easier and more natural when it begins with the text and its meaning. When there are no expectations, the musician can perform with more confidence because it comes from sheer enjoyment and a sense of abandon. Oftentimes, musicians' parents are suspicious about the business of performing, largely because they don't personally know anyone who has taken that path. Most parents want their children to be financially secure, and they are understandably concerned about their child's employment options. So the ego is critical to any serious musical pursuit. A good musician possesses many basic skills, including technique, musicianship, language proficiency, and communication. But if a musician begins a lesson or a performance with a critical, self-critical mindset or confusion about his or her abilities, or his or her musical identities, the activity is doomed to mediocrity at best. Any adult human being will be susceptible to professional difficulties when his or her sense of self apart from work is not clearly identified. The term ego alone might be replaced by self-esteem, which means confidence and satisfaction in one's self. The truly artistic musician will need to integrate larger societal concerns into the poetry of the universal human condition that appears in so much of the repertoire we play. Respect for others engenders a fuller acceptance of oneself, which in turn enhances one's performance abilities. Less successful musicians lack a definition of ego. They're not sure where their music ends and they begin. If you don't love music enough to need it in your life, you will definitely face an uphill road. On the other hand, if you're not strong enough as a person to believe that you could be fine doing something else, you may go through some difficult times. You have to know your own temperament and whether or not you are a performer at heart. The true musical artist cannot be afraid to delve deeply and to examine all aspects of music, emotion, and relationships with other people. The process begins with a firm knowledge of one's strengths and weaknesses, independent of comparison to others, so that one can enjoy a life of music free from ego distractions. Healthy confidence grows from knowledge of one's worth, regardless of outer circumstances, while conceit begins with exaggeration of one's abilities, especially in comparison to others. In most professional situations, no one has to perform badly for another to perform well. Mediocre musicians are hired back every season simply because they are easy to work with for the season's term. internationally renowned musicians have been barred from certain venues because of tantrums, despite their arguably unparalleled talent. If we have not learned to accept ourselves and to accept our mistakes, we will be ineffective as musicians. True artists are most deeply motivated by the search for the elusive, perfect sound. We must focus on the wonder of what is possible when we hear beautiful sounds made by others. The music made by others serves as an example for us to inspire us to make sounds illuminated by our individual selves. The real challenge of making honest music is, quote, to recall that experience when you were vulnerable and travel to that place deep within you whenever you make music. James Jordan. Our hearts have an intangible way of shining forth in our tone quality. We need this individuality of tone and interpretation to separate ourselves from the rest of the pack. We need it to feel naturally confident. We can be most successfully competitive when we rest in our uniqueness rather than comparing ourselves to others. If we can convince ourselves to think about the music and the words rather than keeping a running tally in our minds, we can more readily draw the audience into our thoughts. Performances don't have to feel like jury examinations. The audience is not the enemy. If we're not prepared to live in the moment and lose ourselves in love with the music, we will be unable to let the audience into our stories. You can either worry about every note or enjoy the performance. The most effective teachers use group situations to build confidence and to create a supportive environment. It is important not to create a star system, but to acknowledge the different levels of advancement within the studio. Every person in the studio must know that he or she is equally important to the teacher and worthy as a human being. Teachers should be completely frank about the student's difficulties and deal with them as a group in a way that freed him or her from any embarrassment or shame. The perfect technique is not the only thing that makes the piece effective. By investing themselves in the piece, students can make it their own, and every individual can have a valid interpretation. In this way, all the students in the class learn not to fear comparison with others. Sometimes magic happens in studio class, and a student goes further emotionally than she ever has before. The best way to keep perspective on your ego is to remember that the music is the reason you're on the stage. Art is empty if it's not created out of love and selflessness. The music is bigger than we are, and we are the custodians of this beautiful art form. If we perform only because we love the applause and the attention, we will cheat ourselves of the joy given to us by genuine love for the music. Put the music ahead of your own ambitions and let the rest follow. Success, like happiness, cannot be pursued. It must ensue as the unintended side effect of one's personal dedication to a course greater than one's self. That's from Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. The attention we spend learning our craft, language, articulation, style, and so forth, serves to help us to find the artistic situations in which we are most comfortable. Do we work on all these elements just to get attention, or because we are fascinated by music? For example, most singers fall into one of two categories: voice diva, the one who orders her outfits and learns the cadenzas, and the art diva, who reads the original texts in order to immerse him or herself in it. Today's musician ideally needs to do both of these things to be successful. One type focuses exclusively on the external elements, such as the attire, the technical perfection, or the attitude. Another category of artists searches beyond this level for the internal truths about the music, always striving for honest and meaningful tone color. But it's very difficult to convince a musician from one camp that the other is important. Are certain musicians successful because they work so hard to infuse the music with emotional content? Or is it because they are fascinating, special people at their very core, and their personal light shines through their playing? The answer lies in some combination of these two ideas. Genuine artists are complex, spiritual, generous people who work diligently to bring themselves into every aspect of their art. Repertoire is most is the most obvious way to accommodate your comfort levels. Everything that affects our interpretation of a piece affects our artistic ownership of it, including our moral and spiritual beliefs. Performance anxiety issues stem from basic ego problems such as lack of self-esteem, confusing the instrument with the music with the self, and the absence of a clear desire to perform. The best antidotes to this are thorough preparation and commitment. A true artist stops caring what people think long before the performance. The focus has to be on the process and doing everything possible to interpret the piece effectively. Technique, for its own sake, is empty and generic unless it has a musical purpose. It is very easy to hide behind the search for technical perfection with the intent to begin the artistic process on the day when the technical perfection is finally achieved. But that's an unattainable goal. Technique should not be viewed as separate from artistry. The two have a symbiotic relationship. Use your technique musically and play your music technically. There comes a point in every musician's life when it's appropriate to stop thinking about the mechanics and start making art. If a musician never reaches this point, he has no way to truly stand out from thousands of other musicians. We cannot access our most individual, honest sound until we release ourselves to the task of communicating the music, putting aside our obsessions with the way others view us. And this takes practice, and we must be disciplined about it. Studies have shown on elite performers in a variety of fields that the amount of practice is the biggest difference between them and less distinguished performers. There is a willingness to engage in sustained training. Music is not a sport, it's an artistic endeavor. You cannot limit yourself to a single approach. To play stylistically begins with the knowledge of what differentiates the styles. There's articulation, language, and their appropriate technical ramifications. The language is the style. The ability to separate and define different musical styles is based in a highly detailed knowledge of music. Musicians have to know themselves so well to handle life as musicians. So therapy can be a good option for most musicians. Therapy can be one more part of the musician's preparation for a career. Musicians must come to believe in his or her uniqueness. Every musician must develop something special to survive in competition with hundreds of other equally gifted musicians. It often takes quite a long time to find lasting success. The ones who make it are often the ones who stay with it for years and are patient enough to wait things out. Therapists can help musicians realize if they are basing their entire concept of self-worth on their music. Over time, they can guide their clients into slightly more inclusive approaches to their self-esteem. Artists experience depression more frequently and perhaps more intensely than members of the general population. The stereotypical reasons for this include sensitivity to life's injustices, self-involvement, and a distorted perspective of the world. One other issue separates all musicians from non-musicians, the idea that talent itself isolates them from other people to a certain extent. Many instrumentalists don't have an appreciation for the particular emotional issues that come with singing, leaving the singer with an even smaller pool of potentially sympathetic companions. Teachers should care more about their students developing into healthy, well-adjusted human beings than they do about whether they play well. Teachers sometimes joke about the percentage of time that they function as therapists. It is impossible to ignore the student's personality and emotional makeup when the teachers are trying to assist in developing the students as artists. Sometimes that means the student will be happier in different areas, in a different area of the profession. Occasionally it means putting the student's personal health before their musical studies. To simply replace negative thoughts, the first step is to become aware of them and try to remain an observer in that awareness. We can gain the necessary emotional distance then, which helps us begin to diffuse the intensity of the emotional reaction. Some references on this include Tara Bennett Goldman's Emotional Alchemy, The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron, and The Musician's Soul by James Jordan, in which he says, quote, "Before one is able to conduct and evoke artistry, one must spend a considerable amount of time on oneself, on one's inside self.